whole sense of God coming to establish a people. We're so individualistic in our view of life and so on these days, and it's great to have these hymns that remind us that it's a people, a body, a group, a family that Jesus came to save and establish. We're going to be all over the Bible, and so have your Bible. You can be quick to flip it around, but also make sure you have your outline there to fill in, but also grab this blue sheet, because we'll be looking at that momentarily. So once again, I'm going to stand here, and I'm going to sin right in front of you, yet again. Two Sundays ago, I preached a topical sermon instead of an expository sermon. Last Sunday, I broke every rule in preaching there is and threw a bunch of peas against the wall. And today, we're going to talk about the church, jumping all over the place, because three or four times a year, we just take a few minutes to remind ourselves of who we are, uniquely who we are as the Grand Prairie Church of Christ. And where we're sitting and what joys are going on and what challenges lay before us. And today, on the financial meeting Sunday, is one of the Sundays that we do this. We do it in June, we do it in at the annual meeting, we do it at the financial meeting, we do it in September, and we do it in January. Just a reminder to refocus. This is who we are. And this is what we're about. And this is why God has us right here in Grand Prairie. So I'm going to try and contain myself because, as you know, I love the Church of Christ, of Jesus Christ. And I especially love this fellowship, all that I am in Jesus. I owe to here. It's where I came to Christ. It's where I started preaching. It's where I was in the summers. You are my family, my mentors and friends. And all that good stuff. And so I will attempt to keep it short, because otherwise you won't be friends with me very much longer if I said everything that I want to say. So here we go. Let's just start off by just a quick review of the big statements that we establish of who we are. We start off with our mission, and you can see it there. The purpose of the Grand Prairie Church of Christ is to praise and worship God, to mature and assist others in maturing towards the image of Christ. Now, let me just break that up for you again. Let's start off with this whole thing about praising and worship. Now, it's not that we're just doubling up the words. We're not saying it's a very, 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 very red truck. But the idea is there's some nuances here. For example, when we're thinking about praise, and what we have in mind here are the very specific acts that we do, such as we did, where we're very deliberately singing songs, participating in communion, studying God's word. It's the deliberate act of praise in God. And so we exist as the church to give praise to the Father. But we also say to praise and worship. And the whole idea, if you look at Ephesians for that first part, Ephesians chapter 1, that the church is here to the praise of glory, God's glory. But this whole thing about worship, that's the idea, but we also recognize that everything that we are and everything that we do is to be a worship of God. Paul writes in Romans, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercies, present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your true and proper worship." In other words, we understand that everything that we are as people needs to be an offering of God to worship. Whenever I have a conversation that I'm having, whatever business deal that I'm having, whatever friendship that I have, it's all to be done in a way that brings God worship. Second part, so we praise and worship God. Second part, and to mature and assist others in maturing towards the image of Christ. You know, Jesus, before he left earth, said this in Matthew. We all know it. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I've commanded you, and surely I'll be with you always to the very end of the age." And what we're about is this. The reason we don't just bring people to Christ when we develop this is that we're in the business of making disciples. Not just decisions for Jesus, but people who have committed their entire life to being a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, to think like Jesus, to act like Jesus, to speak like Jesus, to have a heart of compassion like Jesus. And that's why that's driven in there, that we are disciples. Christians are only called Christians, I think it's twice in the New Testament, but the word disciples, follower, those in allegiance with Christ is again and again. So that's kind of what we say our big mission is. And then the next thing we talk about is our ethos. Well, what in the world is ethos? Well, the ethos is basically all of the feelings and attitudes that people should sense when they walk in. It's kind of the air that we breathe. It's the environment in which we live in. And the whole idea there, you'll see it, is that we're a kingdom people. We have a kingdom perspective. That is that we understand that we're in the business of more than just us. And we have brothers and sisters in many other churches and all the way around the world. And we've got this kingdom perspective. It's not just us. But not only that, but we have what we call a missional intention. It just means that we're on a mission. Same as, you know, I've got a mission. I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy a pair of shoes. I'm on a mission. Well, we have a missional intention. But the mission that we're on is the mission of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians, it says this. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's our ministry. That's what we're about, is reconciling all, and it goes on, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. He's committed us to the message of reconciliation. That's what we're about. It's our mission. We are reconciling all of creation back to the Father through Jesus Christ as we take his work. Next thing, a fancy word, is we're an eschatological community. You'll see it there under ethos. Well, what in the world is an eschatological? Eschatology is the end, right? To be an eschatological community means this. This is what it means. As Barry said, heaven has invaded earth. And we are to live our lives fully as the kingdom of God on earth. You know, the book of Philippians is an interesting book because Philippi was a special outpost of Rome. It was like a little bit of Rome out in the countryside. And so Paul wrote this to the Philippians: our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. Our citizenship is in heaven, but we dwell on earth. And so we bring the kingdom of God, the rule of Christ, the life of Christ, wherever it is that we go. And then, of course, we finish off with faith, hope, and love. It needs to be what people experience as they come and dwell within us, that great Pauline triad of faith and hope and love that go together. And so that's kind of the ethos. That's the air that we want to have around here. The next word are our themes or our values, and we have five of them. This is kind of the DNA of the church. And we're saying that everything that happens needs to have a taste of this in here. Worship. Joining together, it's on the flip side of the page there, right? The five themes. Worship, joining together as we encounter God. Praise the Lord, O my soul, the psalmist says, and all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not his benefits. Community is a big, big value for us. And that means more than just friendship, it means participating together in the mission of Jesus. You know, Jesus said to his followers, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And this is Christian community. Now, Brant and I, we are bound together in Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter if we like each other or not, or we're having a bit of a spat or not, or whatever. That doesn't matter, because between Brant and I is Jesus Christ. And Brant loves Jesus, and Jesus loves Brant, and I love Jesus, and Jesus loves me. And so therefore, Brant and I love each other, and we are bound together in Christ on the community of Jesus, on the mission of Jesus. Embodiment. Now, this is a tough word. And we try and work it through, and we always think, well, you know what we're going to say about it. And, well, Scott always says, yeah, but it's such a great word. Let me just flesh that out a little bit for you. Basically, embodiment is living out the gospel in words, but also in what we do and who we are. You know, the Bible says this in 1 John, let us not love with words and speech alone, but with actions and in truth. And so embodiment is being the personification, or it's to live out Jesus in our lives. And we think about that when we think about evangelism and reaching out and discipling other people. It says this in Colossians: let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another. See, that's the discipling part. That's the enabling part. We're teaching and we're admonishing one another. We're living it out. And as you sing hymns and spiritual songs, that's the whole worship with gratitude in your heart. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's in Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. In other words, what we want to be is a living, breathing gospel. And a living, breathing brother and sister in Christ to each other as we build each other up and disciple each other and mentor each other and encourage one each other and challenge one another. It's the embodiment, living it out, benevolence. Caring for those who are marginalized. This is so huge for us. It's the ministry of Jesus. When Jesus went into the synagogue, his hometown, and he read this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? What he anointed me to do? He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The year of the Lord's favor is the year of Jubilee, when everybody's debts were forgiven and everything is brought back to ground zero and everybody got back. If you'd enslaved yourself, you were set free. If you'd given up your family farm, you got the family farm back. All of this good stuff. It's benevolence. It's the ministry of Jesus, of caring for those who are pushed to the sides of society. And this is so huge for us. You'll see in the financial reports. You know, this last year, we gave $102,000, almost $103,000 in benevolence work, trying to reach those and minister to those right here in Grand Prairie who are kind of pushed to the side. Evangelism, inviting others to join us on the journey of Jesus. There's a great article, if you get the Chronicle online, Mallory Peterson did a great article on evangelism. It's this whole thing of as Dallas Willard said years ago, he said, you know the problem with the evangelical church is that we spent so much time trying to get people into heaven. But really, that's not the good news. What we need to be in the business of doing is getting heaven into people, getting the grace of God into people, the love of God into people, the kingdom of God into people. That's evangelism. That's making disciples. Now, listen up. All that stuff you see on the blue sheet, the mission was developed 30-some years ago, and the rest of that stuff was developed and put down on paper like that about 10 years ago. And it really captured the heart of who we were as a church at the time, with the language that made sense to people at that time. But it's about time that we have to freshen this up a little bit. And so you'll see over the next few years, we'll probably come up with very similar things, because it's kind of who we are, and it's kind of the gospel. But we're going to kind of work that through and put it into a context that makes sense for 2014 and on for the next 10 years or whatever it is. And so you can be watching for that. We'll probably come up, the elders will lead us through it, probably the annual meeting over the next few months, where we just kind of look at these things and say, okay, let's make sure that this is really who we are. Is there anything that's kind of slipped off the radar that we need to get back? Is there anything that God has moved us on from that we said, you know what, God had us doing that back then, but really I think we need to change 10 degrees here and go in a different direction? And I'm sure we'll come up the same, because this is basically the gospel. But the reworking in the language, you can be watching for that. It's going to be a great time for us to just remind ourselves of who God has called us to be. Now, that's kind of the foundational stuff. But as you know, we're working on three strategic ends, where the last, you know, we're two and three quarters of the year's the way through it. And we came up with those three strategic ends. The first was to equip people and to reorient their lives for kingdom living. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. And so we spent last year kind of working through, what does it mean to always think about kingdom first living? And this year we're sort of trying to work on this whole thing about implementing processes where we're intentional about introducing people to Christ. This is the living out of the Great Commission. This is this evangelism that we sort of, and we've been working, that's why we've been praying through, you know, this whole thing about establishing house churches and so on. And then the third great thing that we heard from you folks was we need to initiate and implement mentoring and discipleship programs for personal growth and service in all areas of the church. This is the making disciples. This is the mentoring. This is the equipping one another. And we do this in things like small groups. And the youth and children's ministry have been having those dinner table conversations. Now, here's the thing about and leadership, you know, different people being equipped and mentored in leadership as they work with leaders to bring them along. You know, I took a course a number of years ago, and a guy was doing a lesson on mentorship, and it was so very helpful for me. He said, you know, mentorship is, it's a really scary word. It's especially scary if you think, or someone asks you to be a mentor. He said, but here's what you need to think about when you think about mentorship. You need to think about a very specific issue and a very specific time. Because what happens is if you go to somebody and say, hey, will you mentor me? They think, if you knew how far away from Jesus like I was, you would not ask me to mentor you. You don't understand what's going on in this area of my life, and this area of my life, and this area of my life, and I've got this challenge, and I've got this struggle, and I've got this sin. But if you go to somebody and said, hey, I notice that you are really good at organizing your life. You know, I don't know how you do it with your 15 children that you have, but they're all in order and it's all a good thing. And will you? Can we meet once every 2 weeks? I'll buy you lunch and I've just got some questions and we'll just do that for 6 times. Well, I don't know. I'm not good at, I know you're not good at that stuff, but I want you to just, you see? And so if you get asked to do a very specific thing, then you can say, well, you know what? I guess if you notice that in me, I can tell you what I do. I don't think it's much, but I can tell you, I guess. And you're not asking the person to marry you. You're asking the person, hey, can you spend X amount of time with me to help me with this area? Now, take a look in your bulletin. You'll see this bright neon thing. The elders, Todd actually came up with this idea. We're talking about this last elders meeting. We're going to develop it more, but too bad, too sad. It's too good of an idea to let go, and it fits with my sermon. So here's the deal. If you've got some area of your life that, you know what, I see I need to grow up in this area. I need to grow up in biblical exegesis and, you know, whatever it is that it is you need some help with. Then you just check that off. I'd like some help in the area of, and you just write in what you want. If you've got something that you know the Lord has helped you do, and this, you know, listen to me. We're always afraid of pride. We're always thinking, well, I can't say I'm good at anything. Well, you know why you're good at something? Because God gave you that ability. So it's not a pride thing. It's a thing of, this is what the Lord has given me. This is what the Holy Spirit has allowed me to do. And I'm okay. I can teach people how to do an understanding of a passage of Scripture. God's given me that. I can do that. Now, so what you do is you put your name on there and you put your contact info there and you check it off. Now, here's the thing, okay? Here's the thing. We can't guarantee that we're going to be able to match you up. And a couple of reasons. Number one is sometimes these pieces of paper get lost, so don't get busy. And number two is if nobody puts on, hey, I'll help people with somebody, we'll have a whole bunch of people say, I need help with X, but nobody says they're going to do it. So, well, we'll pray for you then. Okay, so please, you know, I'm going to pass this around right here. We'll start here and we'll get to the back and slip it over. And then if you don't get it done in time, you can put it in afterwards. But just a bit of a help, and maybe we can get some of this discipleship thing going, and we can get some of this mentoring happening. Yes, we do. We had lots of them, but I forgot to put them out on the community table where I was supposed to. But where's... Yeah, can you go into the main office there, and you know the box where the bulletins are in? There's a whole stack of extra ones of those neon green things. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate that. Thank you. Very good. Okay, now, let's talk about what I really want to talk about. That was all introduction. And that is this whole thing about evangelism. This whole thing about evangelism. The first thing I want to say is, as you know, we had a day of fasting and prayer here a few weeks ago. And what was great about it is, what we had some time of prayer, I think I told you this, and then we said, what's the Lord laid on your hand? And we marked that all down. And it was amazing how that matched what we've come up with at the leadership team meeting just a month before, and what you folks all came up with 2.5 years ago. So let me just put up here, as we think about evangelism, I'm just going to mention the details I'm not going to say. The first thing that came up for everyone to know is that, hey, the Spirit was saying to us, just remember that this is all about people. It's not about X, Y, and Z. This is about people, and it came up in different ways. You can read faster than I can speak. The second thing that really came up is that we need to reach out to those who've yet to experience God's grace. And that this is a great way to do that, because if you look at some of those details, they're saying, this is what we found as we've experienced life in this church. And so we can do this. We can reach out. We can heal some hearts. We can make sure that we're soft towards people. We can remember that people are the image of God. And the third thing that came up is that we need to support each other. And this is this whole mentoring and support and prayer and with people that are reaching out and so on. So these three big themes emerged as we went through that day of fasting and prayer. And you can see that it all has to do with loving people and reaching out to people and being Christ to people as Jesus flows through us. Helping people struggle with their faith questions and developing this relationship with Jesus. Now, that's kind of the big picture. But let me just talk to you about evangelism. Because this is kind of our theme for the year. And I want you to think about evangelism. I want you to imagine a three-legged stool. Okay? Three-legged stool, because three-legged stools are very stable and they're good, and it's the picture that came to my mind, so it must be a great picture. And I want you to think about this whole thing of taking the gospel of Jesus Christ out to people and according to who we are and our culture and our themes and all that good sort of stuff. And I want you to think about this first leg of the stool, what I call 100 increments. 100 increments. In other words, these are the hundreds or even thousands of things that we do which share the gospel. They're all of the conversations that you have with friends and with family and with workmates. And just those little things that every once in a while, you know, some topic, you're in the coffee room and some topic comes up and you're somehow able to slip in. Well, you know, this is how Jesus would answer this. It's all of those conversations. It's some of the ministries that we have that reach out by way of embodiment. We've got things like Glory Garden. With Glory Garden, do you know that we have 70 kids every day? No, 5 days a week. Majority, like over 90% of whom don't participate in any church. But in Glory Garden, they get the gospel told to them. And stories about Jesus and the Bible told to them. It's living out. We've got the English as a second language meets here. Many of the teachers there are Christians, and we have opportunity to, as I've said before, to involve ourselves in conversational language. If you like, Sharon was talking about how the quilters used the building and the witness that is to some of the people that are part of that don't know Jesus yet. And not to mention how it goes on and blesses other people. We've got things like benevolence, Saturday night supper. We're in the winter, you know, 50 or more people come and they eat and we have opportunity. They get the witness that at least we're being brought supper and there's a warm place to hang out for a couple of hours. And you know, people can interact with them. There's our missions that we're involved in, everything from training leaders to our partnership with Young Life. This is all outreach. It's all evangelism. And there's our more and more support for Aurora Home going along. And by the way, if you want to put that poster up there, Monday is our last chance we have to interact. The Government of Canada is looking for public consultation on prostitution. Remember, the prostitution laws were struck down? So right now, it's wide open. And so Monday's the last chance that you have. So if you can, you know, get your binoculars out and look at that website, those posters are all over the place. But it's 7 questions. It takes you like 5 minutes to go in there and to answer it. You've got to get online and you've got to do it. So if you don't have concert, the posters are, every bulletin board we have, there's a poster put up by Centre Street which explains all of this. But our work with Aurora Home, right here in Grand Prairie, it's set to open and we can get more and more involved where women who have been trafficked and brought in off the streets. Well, you know what? These 100 increments, we need to celebrate these things. And not only that, but we need to capitalize even more. Because we can actually go quite a bit further with these. I mean, it's kind of there, and like we're 80% there, but we can get more and personally involved with people and with these folks that are involved in these things. And I just mean being friends. I just mean loving on people. I just mean having a conversation with an immigrant who's just kind of learning English, and I can teach them the proper English instead of this Canadian stuff. If I have conversations with them. So we can just step over that line. Well, the second thing, the second Lego stool, is we're a multi-site church. We have Mission Heights going, we're working towards house churches. I just read the most recent study and research on the multi-site church, and it is the place, the way to do evangelism right now in our society in North America in this year. I mean, in this decade. I mean, I'm sure in 20 years' time it'll be different. But right now, I think it's 88% of multi-site churches are growing. 25% of non-multi-site churches are growing. So it just kind of shows you how it's happening. And so as we pray and we work through what's our next site, and we need to get ready for that and be prepared for that and be praying about it and start moving towards that as we find ourselves established. Now, let me talk about this third stool leg. Because maybe neither of these things turns your crank. It might be because you're nervous and you just don't know. I don't know how to have these conversations. I don't know how I can participate in those things. Or maybe multi-site, I like it right here. You know, I don't want to go and source another site. I want to just kind of, whatever the reason. Let me talk about this third stool leg. Or maybe it's not that you're nervous. Maybe your personality is the type that, you know what, because of my life and everything, I can't diffuse it in my life like this. I need a focus. And if we can do something, you know, a weekend or a week or a whatever, that I can focus my energy and I'll commit to that and that'll be my evangelism thing and then that'll be good because that's the kind of person that I am. So let me put up a third thing, a big event that we, if you're that kind of person, you're nervous about these things or you like the big event, why don't we call this camp? We spent a number of years, the camp committee, working very hard on developing the facility out there. It's been decades going. It's just a marvelous place. But if you're the kind of person that, you know, I need a focus, why don't we spend spring working on getting people to camp and kids to camp and families to camp and then have the fall following up on the folks that come to Jesus and want to be made disciples through camp? I mean, if that's the kind of... As a matter of fact, I tell you what. I'll make you a deal. We'll just keep this between us. Because we're all friends. If you're terrified of evangelism, and you don't have clue one about how to do it, because you've tried it a couple of times and it's been a disaster, and you began to doubt Jesus yourself after the conversation, whatever your situation, if that's your spot, I'll make you a deal. If you sign up for camp, to minister in camp, to be a cabin leader, to be a cook, to be a garbage picker-upper, to be a potato peeler, to be a garbage burner, to drive around, to work on the extreme build. If you sign up, I'll give you a piece of paper that says that's good for your evangelism for the year. I'll put the Church of Christ stamp on it. Have our address on. You know, it's such an opportunity. Because this is what you can do. You can go to your friends that have kids and you can say, hey, you know, would little Johnny, would they like to go to camp this year? I'm going to be the cabin leader. And so they're going to know me. And so it'll be comfortable. And you know me and you trust me. And so you don't have to be afraid to send your kid someplace where nobody knows. Because I'm going to be right there. I'm going to be the craft teacher. I'll just kind of watch out. If you do that, I'll sign you a piece of paper and that's good for evangelism for the year, okay? And then we'll see what Jesus says to me at the end. Three stool feet. And this is where our focus needs to be. We're halfway through the year. We need to get these legs going. Somewhere to do that. All right, so what about the finances? Because the reason we do this is to get us ready for the financial meeting, to give you the context that we're talking about when we get to talk about the dollars and cents tonight at 7 o'clock. I'm so thankful for God's goodness and your faithfulness. I am so very thankful. If you come tonight or if you've seen the report, you'll see that it's great news. We've been so blessed financially. As you know, we've come up with a very significant excess of funds. But let's remember, that's not so that we can sit comfortably. That's because there's even greater opportunity that lies before us. And the future is so much brighter than even our bright past. We can bless other ministries. We can be ready for our next move. Do you remember what a blessing it was when we bought the Mission Heights building? You remember what a blessing it was not to go into massive debt and have debt payments and building payments hanging around our neck, that we could just get that building and send over 80, 90 folks, and they could concentrate where we want to concentrate, on people, because we had funds built up. And so it is now. We've got funds built up, ready for our next thing. We've got a war chest that's building, ready for us to step out and put our shoulders to the wheel. And the resources are already there. And we can quickly get to the place where we can do some amazing thing as God leads us. Well, let me just kind of wrap this up. Some actions that we can take. First is evangelism. So ask ourselves, what can I do now? What can I do at work? What can I do at home? Can I get involved in embodying the gospel somehow? Can I get together in combination with Servants Anonymous and others and make my voice known to Parliament? There's that same website again. If you couldn't see it before, you can look at it again there and jump on there. Jump on your mobile device right as soon as we're done. Get on that website and do it now. And you have done something for the kingdom to fight the trafficking of young girls in the sex trade. Sign up for camp. Figure out who you're going to invite to come to camp. Do something. Just figure, I'm going to do this one thing. I can't do this, I can't do that. Mentoring, number two. Make your availability or your desires known. Fill out those neon green things. And if you don't get a call from one of us or somebody the next little while, phone me up and say, hey, did my sheet get lost, or is there nobody, or whatever it is. Get involved in this. Number three, stay committed to giving. It's very easy when you see, well, man, look at that. We came ahead a couple hundred thousand dollars this year. Very easy to say, well, you know what, the church doesn't need the money, and so we're going to do X, Y, Z. No. We're building a war chest so that we don't have to go into debt, so that we don't have to pay interest, so that the money that we give can be used for the kingdom of God and not interest to the Royal Bank or somewhere, right? And number four, come to the meeting tonight, 7 o'clock. I don't know, lots of times finances, it's tough stuff, our budget's over $1 million, I can't remember whatever it is, $1.1 million, $1.2 million, something like that. And those numbers get so big and so scary, and it gets so confusing. But we just want to invite you to come to the meeting, and you can ask your questions, and you can see where the money went, and the guys that are on the stewardship team will be explaining all that, and then we'll have a great time of fellowship afterwards when you all bring pies. So it should be a good thing. Four things that you can do. An overview of the church. It's an incredible opportunity that we have. It's a great blessing to be this fellowship. Let's pray. Father, this is a whole pile of stuff. A lot of it was old stuff and just a reminder, but it can get jumbled in our brain. But Lord, we are part of your body in this city, along with our other congregations. And we want to be about the mission. We want to be about bringing you glory and helping other people grow into the image of Christ, whether they're far away from Jesus and they need to meet you, Jesus, for the first time, or whether they've been a believer in you for a while, but we need to be discipled, we need to be mentored and grow. We want to be in the business of loving you and loving people. Serving you and serving people. Reaching our arms up to you and reaching our hands out to other people. It's who we want to be. It's who we say that we are. And I'm so thankful for these brothers and sisters of mine who have this desire. And I'm so thankful that the portion of that mission, that expression of love, which has to do with finances, we've been so blessed in the last number of years. And we want to be responsible, Lord. We want to be good managers of your resources that you've made available. And we want to share with each other what's going on, what's been done, where are we going, what's next. And hear from you what's next. And so I want to pray that we would take some actions on evangelism and all the rest of it, but that also that you bless our meeting tonight, that it would be good and it would be clear, that it would be looking forward, that we can catch a glimpse of what you have for us over the next number of months. So Holy Spirit, continue to do your good work amongst us. We pray in Jesus' name.